every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we thank you for your word. We humble ourselves to receive it as you send it. As snow and rain falls from heaven, watereth the earth to give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall your word go out from you and accomplish all that you send it to accomplish. It will not return unto you void. Lord, I humble myself in your presence and in the presence of your people, that your word will have free course. Counsel out every stratagem and scheme of the enemy, that nothing will hinder your word. Lord, I pray that you give us connection, pew and pulpit, pulpit and pew. Make us one, that the message of your son's coming will be believed by skeptics and critics, sinner boys, sinner girls, sinner men, and sinner women. Lord, I pray that this preaching prick the heart of somebody present and watching virtually, that they will ask, what must I do to be saved? Thank you for this preaching moment. In Jesus' name, we do pray. And every heart say, amen. Give the Lord your best praise. Come on, you can do better than that. Give him your best praise. He brought you over hills and through valleys. He has navigated your niches, allowed you the privilege of being participatory in this place once again. And certainly it's good to be alive, alert and active. It is in the Lord Jesus Christ we live, move, and have our being. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Certainly we thank God for all of you. Thank God for our visitors. Thank God for these preachers. Personal Reverend Edwards. Reverend Erskine, I've been knowing for quite some time. He was under one of my friends in Macon, Mississippi. Reverend George Kane, amen. Good to see you. Amen. He told me he'd been here since 15, but it took him so long to come see us. Amen. But we thank God for your presence. Dr. Walker, Pastor Meredith Walker, Reverend Woods, and Reverend Mims. Amen. Thank God for all of you. Ephesians chapter 1. The Lord gave me a series of sermons entitled Operating Under the Power and Authority of God. Because as we look at Christians today, out of fear, Christians have become so wimpy. But when you understand that you got all of heaven on your side, yes, yes, you are to stand bold and courageously to represent God in a dark, dismal, damnable world. Yes. So I want you to really, you know, get this, because often we leave church excited, but we're not informed. We don't know what to do with the calling that God has upon our lives. And so I want to kind of get down a little bit. You know, and if I get happy, you know, I may rail a little bit, but I want to get down because I really want us to tap into. It's time out for us just taking what Satan is throwing our way. You know, some people sick don't even think they can get well. Some people are, you know, impoverished and don't think, you know, God provides. So I want to get down a little bit. And I want you to really tap into this so you can apply it to your life. And I want you to know the depth of the power. The depth of the power. Listen, listen. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the power, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Power and authority of God operating under the power and authority of God. Operating, yes, sir. Under the power, yes, sir. And authority of God. One thing we have come to realize is we cannot do it. We cannot live this Christian life by our own power. For the Lord gives us power to face opposition, to face the enemy, and not only just face, but to overcome. That we don't have to be bullied by the devil, assaulted by his imps, but we as people of God have power to overcome the enemy. Paul, in this particular text, he writes the church at Ephesus, and in this particular pericope, he's praying a prayer of thanksgiving because God's hand has rested upon them. His prayer contains both praise and petition to God, he first offers up praise to God for the spiritual blessings bestowed on the believers at Ephesus. Spiritual blessings are the benefits of a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. A few of the spiritual blessings are listed in Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4, believers are chosen in him before the foundation of the world. In Ephesians chapter 1 verse 5, believers are adopted as his children. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 6, believers are made acceptable in the beloved. Ephesians 1 7, believers are redeemed through the blood of Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7, believers are forgiven of their sins. Ephesians chapter 1 verses 8 through 10, believers receive knowledge and wisdom through his word. And in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 11, believers receive an inheritance through Christ. And in verse 13, believers are sealed by the Holy Spirit. Paul praised God for the spiritual blessings the Ephesian believers receive by the hand of Jesus Christ. Paul also prayed for the believers at Ephesus to receive spiritual wisdom and knowledge of God. The spirit of knowledge helps us know God intimately. Let me say that again. The spirit of knowledge helps us know God intimately. That Jesus Christ, he gives knowledge by giving the spirit of knowledge. You need the Holy Ghost to know God. Y'all help me preach it. Look at somebody and tell them, you need the Holy Ghost to know God. Well, let me give you to you in modern terms. You need the Holy Spirit. Come on, look at somebody and tell them, you need the Holy Spirit to know God. He gives the spirit of knowledge, so that we can know God intimately. Paul petitions God to illumine the minds of the people to receive the revelation of the hope to which God called them. God's call is his summons to salvation. God's call, he called us to save us, to rescue us, to deliver us, to set us free from the penalty and power of sin, and eventually from the presence of sin. We need the Spirit of God to know our God. He wants the church to have knowledge of his power. This knowledge is not factual knowledge. It's not intellectual knowledge. Because you can know of him and not know him. You can have head knowledge of God with no heart connection with God. So he's not praying for them to know God factually or intellectually. In other words, he's not praying that we become smart. But he's praying that we will know him experientially. You need an experience with God to know God. Let me say that again. You need an experience with God to know God. And too many people are trying to know God through somebody else's experience. Listen, if you've never been hungry, you don't know him as bread in a starving land. If you've never been without, you don't know that he's a God that can bring you in. If you've never been down, you don't know him as a God who can pick you up and turn you around. If you have never been in trouble, you don't know him as a way maker. You need experience to know God. If you got your experience, look at somebody and tell them, I know him. I know him. I've had some hard times. I've had some difficult days. I've been down before. I've been sick in my body. I had no food on my table at one time. I had no clothes on my back. And now that I've had those experiences, I know him. You need experiential knowledge. He wants us to know his power within. Know his power through the experiences of our past. Know his power through the present predicaments. Know that his power can deliver us from anything that we encounter in life. You need to know him. What are we to know about the power of God? Number one, he gives it to us in the text. He says we need to know the power of God that is in us is for us. We need to know that the power of God that's in us is for us. Since that didn't get you, let me see, can I say it this way, that God's power is not against you, it's for you. If God's power was against you and not for you, you could not survive. The only reason you are sitting up in here with smiles on your face, joy in your heart, peace in your mind, is because God's power is in you and is for you. Look at somebody and tell them, it's for me. It's for me. I got somebody on my side. I can't lose. I can't lose because I got God for me. And if God be for you, he's more than the whole world against you. He's in us. The spirit of power is in us. And it's for us. Listen to him. He says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Paul prayed that the believers at Ephesus would receive knowledge of the power of God that works within. Let me share with you the danger of having power but no knowledge of it. Here's the picture I can give you. A lamp plugged in a socket with a light bulb in the lamp with the switch off. The purpose of a lamp is not to be dark, but to provide light. See, when you got power and you don't know it, you walk around dark as the sinner because you won't turn on your light. See, the little children at the church where I used to pastor would say it this way, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Somebody here ought to be a witness that you got your switch on because you got knowledge of the power. He says that it is exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Now, Paul describes the power of God as immeasurable greatness of his power. God's power is so great that it can't be described with words. That his power is a great power. We do the best we can. It's a divine power. It's a power surpassingly great, power beyond our ability to comprehend. When we think of the power of God, we can't think of the power of God in its totality. We can only think of the power of God as much as our finite minds allow us to think about the infinitude of his power. His power is beyond our explanation. But he gives it to us. And it's for us. Brothers and sisters, it's an incomparable and enormous power. In other words, there's nothing in the earth, on earth, we can compare it to. That there's nothing in heaven, nothing in hell, nothing on earth that we can compare the power of God to. Satan has some power, but his power does not equate the power of God. Government has some power, but governmental power cannot equate the power of God. Temptation has some power. Militaries have some power. People have some power, but none compares with the power of God. Paul says that God's power is exceedingly great. The power Paul mentions is the power of God that brought all things into existence. It is the exceeding great power of God that's capable of giving life to a cold and mangled body. It is the power that he raised Adam with after he formed in his lifeless body and mangled body was there on the ground. He breathed into his nostrils and he became a living soul. It's power to give life. It is power that causes the heart to beat all the time. It is power that God diffused vital warmth through the rigid muscles and to communicate to the body the active function of the body. The exceeding greatness of his power holds all things together. Power of God is for us. It's in us. I got happy when I thought about the empowerment of God. It settled me in my Christian living. Because, you know, an army can be against you. But the army can't defeat you because God in you is greater than any army on the outside of you. You don't have to worry about people. You know, y'all have heard me say this before, that, you know, I don't worry about people because people can't get God off of me, but God can get people off of me. He says it's in us and it's for us. So this power of God is in us and for us. Now he gives description
to the power of God. In the following verses, verse 20, he says, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Now, he's describing the power of God that has been placed in us and for us as the power that raised Jesus from the dead. The Bible says that God raised Jesus from the dead. This power was wrath, which in Greek means an outcome of operation of energy. It was wrath. This power, it focuses on the operation and outcome of God's energy. That the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the operation and outcome of God's energy. Jesus didn't just get up Sunday morning on his own. The Bible says that God raised him. It was as if God reached down and picked his son up. God, by his energy, could reach down and speak to his son and say, be alive. Now, God, he's able to do that now. That he sealed God with power, energy to raise the dead. Oh, he raised the dead. He raised Jesus. Peter said in Acts chapter 2, verse 24, God has raised Jesus up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Paul said in Acts chapter 13, verse 30, God raised Jesus from the dead. Paul said, if you would be saved, you must believe that Jesus died and that God raised him from the dead. And he says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And God raised him. It is Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3-8, for I delivered unto you the first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, and then of the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church. Paul says he got up, and it's evident that he got up because I seen him with a lot of others who saw him. God raised him from the dead. Oh, how I love the church of old, and how the church of old would pray Sunday morning prayers. On Sunday mornings, they would say, Lord, thank you for bringing me from a sleep so close to death, unaware of the world around me. God, you touched me with the finger of love, and my eyes came open, and I saw a new day. That's that same power that got Jesus up is the same power that touched you this morning and got you up. Is there anybody in here want to praise God for getting up power? Thank you for getting me up. Thank you for waking me up. Thank you, Lord, for building me up. Thank you for lifting me up. He has power to raise you up. He describes the power as the power that raised Jesus from the dead. But then he also describes the power as the power that exalted Jesus above all powers. God's power put all things under Christ's feet. The power of God has set Jesus Christ far above all rule. Notice he talks about rule and principality and power. The same thing he says in chapter 6 when he deals with evil nemesis. He talks about the evil force of Satan and the camp of Satan against us, that God has placed Satan's camp under the feet of Jesus. That Satan has, that Jesus Christ has rule and authority over the universe. Or if I had time, I would talk about how Adam and Eve gave dominion, and Jesus Christ had to get it back. And God put all the universe under the feet of Christ. That he's in charge. Christ is in charge. In spite of what you see on the news, Christ is in charge. In spite of the murder you see in the street, Christ is in charge. In spite of the drugs and the senseless killings, Christ is in charge. All things are under his feet. He has power over the universe, but then he has power and authority over the church. That Paul says that he is the head of the church. He is the head of the body. That none of us serve as head. At best, we may be neck or shoulder or arm. Maybe a little part of the back, legs and the waist or something, feet, but none of us serve as head. I'm trying to help us because, you know, some of us want to elevate ourselves to a position of authority and power over the church, but he didn't give us authority and power over the church. He gave us power and authority to operate as. Look at your neighbor if you're bold enough and tell them you're not in charge. I know you've been here a long time, but you're not in charge. I know your great grandmama used to be on the mother's board, and your daddy used to be a deacon, but you're not in charge. I know you got a long history of your family being trustee, but you are not in charge. I know you pay a lot of money, but you're not in charge. position is reserved for one and one only, and that position is Jesus Christ. He is the person that holds the position of being in charge. And whenever we get ourselves in line with Jesus, oh, how God will roll back the clouds of heaven and pour us out a blessing that we won't have room enough to receive. My soul didn't got happy. You ought to look at somebody and said there are benefits for letting him be in charge. If you let him be in charge, he will order your steps. If you let him be in charge, he will govern your life. If you let him be in charge, he will bless your life real good. He'll make blessings chase you down and take you over. Is there anybody here can thank God for Jesus that he is the caregiver and he is the captain? Thank God for Jesus. He is the pilot of my soul, and wherever he leads, I will follow. You ought to help me say it this morning. Wherever he leads, I will follow. Come on, help me say it again. He's in charge. He's the pilot. He's the captain and caretaker. And wherever he leads, I will follow. I follow the Lord from earth to glory. Let me ask you my question, and then I'm going to my seat. Ain't he a mighty good leader? If you know he's a good leader, you ought to stand on your feet. Slip your hand in your neighbor's hand and said, neighbor, I know he's a good leader, because where I am, he brought me. What I have, he gave it to me. What I know, he taught me. He's mighty, 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 mighty good to me. And that's not all he did. He went to a hill called Calvary, and he died in my place for my good. Hallelujah. I thank God that he died, but that's not the end of the story. Holy, holy, holy. Sunday morning, before the rooster could crow, holy. Sunday morning, before the women could make it to the tomb, holy. Sunday morning, before the S-U-N could get up, early Sunday morning, Jesus got up with all power in his hand. Let me ask you my question one more time. Ain't he all right? If you know he's all right, let me hear you say yes. Yes! Yes! Yes!
The door of the Lord's house stands ajar. If you're here today, you're not saved, come give the Lord your life. Receive the exceeding greatness of his power that's toward you. Come today if you're not saved. Secondly, come today. Need of a church home. Come. Thirdly, come. If you're backslidden, come. 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 Come on. Come on, choir, help me. Come on, come on. The doors of the Lord are standing. pastor say come. The choir say come. These preachers and pastors say come. Deacons and trustees. Deacon wives and trustee wives. Come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on. Listen to him, listen to him.
He knows what to do.
Come on. Come on, the doors. Come on. Come on, as the choir sings.
Joy be, deliverance, salvation is free. Come to Jesus, He's all you need. Come to Jesus.
Come on.
For the weary.
is free.
Come to Jesus.
Come on, come on.
He's all you need.
Come on to Jesus.
Come on.
Come to Jesus.
Come on, come on, come on.
Come on to
Jesus.
I asked the three that were baptized this morning to come with their parents. Come on, Reverend. Come on, Reverend, stand with your grandbaby. Stand with your grandbaby. Come on, parents, come on. Let me charge you. Come on, grandmother. Y'all turn this way.
Come on to Jesus. He's all.
He's all you need.
Come on, come on.
Come to Jesus.
He's all.
He's all you need.
Come on.
Come to Jesus.
He's
all you need.
Yes, y'all turn this way. As parents, I want to charge you to train those children up in the way that they should go.
Thank you, Jesus.
Train them up. Train them up. Which means that you have parental responsibility. They don't get it all when they come into this setting, even when they are at Bible study. The word says in Deuteronomy chapter 6 that you are to set the word before them. That it's supposed to be on your doorpost. It's supposed to be your conversation as you pass by, as you lay down and as you rise up in the morning. That you have the responsibility of teaching them. Listen, the problem with our society today is no respect for authority. Because children have raised themselves in front of video games, among their peers, with very little parental influence. Don't let that be the case for you. Dust that Bible off. Get them to the house and make them eat the word. Eat it in the morning. Eat it at noonday. Eat it at the evening. And before they go to bed. It makes me think of little Trinity. She's different from the rest of our children. She said, "Dad, let's pray." And right when we start praying, she wants to play. And I have to threaten her to get her back in line. And sometimes carry through to get her back in line because I want her to understand that prayer time is not play time. So we have to teach them. I charge you before God and these people that you train them up in the way of God. And watch God provide, protect, and empower. Church, reach your hand this way and repeat after me. We take responsibility of helping these parents
train their children up
in the way that they should go.
When we see them
falter,
we will get them back in line.
When we see them stray, We will bring them back to the fold. If they are constantly absent from the assembly of the saints, we'll call, we'll go by to make sure they return to the fold. In Jesus' name. May the grace of God, sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, rest, rule, and abide with us now, henceforth, and forever. And every heart say amen. 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 Be blessed. Amen.